Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to welcome you here to Oregon Lutheran Church. We're happy to have you here with us for our morning worship this morning. I have one announcement here that I heard that it is Andrew Poston's birthday. Is that correct, sir? Yes? All right, perfect. Well, we all wish him a happy birthday. There's some other announcements in here. We do have a few folks in hospice and things, so if you can keep an eye on our prayers list, and we'll be sending out information. Llewellyn Schuping and Hubert Goodman here in the last week have been checking on them, and they not doing so great. Also, Holly Smith has been added to the prayer list. She has some pretty serious cancer, if you can keep her in your prayers as well. We do have a few other announcements here in the bulletin, but I think, Kay, you had something you wanted to say.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Wanted to bring you up to date on things that are happening with our call process. We were excited, the church council was excited last Sunday to meet with Ken Reed, the dean of our district, okay? And we met with him for several hours about where we are and what's happening in the congregation. And also speaking about an interim pastor, and he has assured us that we have been designated as a congregation who will definitely need a full-time pastor when we start that process, and probably a full-time interim or a 75% interim. And they still think that we may have an interim pastor by Easter, okay? Our next step, and we're trying to set this up now, made the necessary calls, is that we will have a conference call with the assistant to the bishop. That's Dr. David Wendell. He's the assistant to the bishop of the NALC. And that will be a conference call because he lives further up in the U.S. And after that, then we will meet with Nathan Yoder and David Hefner of the PCAT team, which is the pastoral call assistance team. And they will be assisting us in studying the congregation and helping us to determine what we need in a call committee. And then our church council will select the members that will be on that call committee. And then they will start the process. And it's a little bit different than things that we've been used to. A lot of stuff is done online now. And we will be building or putting together a video of our congregation, which will share the story of who we are. So we'll be showing photographs of our church, photographs of all the activities that we do, the missions that we do to give prospective ministers an idea of who we are, okay? So a lot of things are done, like I say, a little bit differently than what we've been used to, but we're on it. Let's see if I can read my hastily written notes. Okay, the steeple. The steeple project, we do have another really good bid. We are working on a third bid, I'm told, from the property committee, so we are getting there, okay? And the chimes project, which some of you came and listened to the beautiful chimes that Daniel had set up for us last month, that project will be continued once the steeple project is underway. And hopefully all of that's going to be pretty soon. So I'm excited about all that, and the council is too. So thank you. Just wanted to update you.
Are there any other announcements? I know I'm probably missing some. No? Well, if not, then let's stand for the invocation. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you, given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. Please be seated. We invite the children forward for the children's sermon. Morning. Morning. How's it going? Y'all doing good? Everybody doing good? Yeah. Good, I'm glad. Does anybody have offering to put in? No? There you go. All right. So everybody doing good? Yeah? Good, I'm glad. All right, now, I want you to think about something, okay? Did anybody ever tell you that you should do a chore? Did anybody ever make you do a chore? Yeah, what are some chores that you have to do? Okay, yes, sometimes. Yeah, oh yeah? Good, what are some chores? Cleaning your room, yeah, what else? Bringing in the garbage can, yeah, yep. So those are some things that are good to do, right? It helps us at our homes and things. It helps, we help out in our home and we do our part and everything, right? But there's actually something in the scriptures today that tells us how we're supposed to do things. And it talks a little bit about helping people out, helping other people, maybe caring for their needs. Like if somebody's in need, helping them, or if something bad's happening to somebody, how to help them with that. Now, when you clean your room, do you just sit on the couch and whenever you happen to see something that maybe like, oh, there's a sock or something. I'm sitting on the couch. This is supposed to go in my room. And you pick it up and you go take it in and then you go sit back on the couch again. No, what do you do when you clean your room? Yeah, you could sit on your bed and do that, yeah. But you do. You stand up and you go in and you, on purpose, look for things that have to be cleaned, right? And that's actually how the Bible tells us to help other people. It doesn't mean just sit and wait, and if somebody happens to come by who needs something, help them out. It actually tells us to go and look for people that need help and do that. Do you think that we could help other people in school or in our family or in our friend groups the way that we clean our room? We actually go and look for people that need help? Do you think we could do that? Sometimes it's a little hard, but I think we could do that. You want to do that with me? Can you think of ways that you can look for people at school maybe that need help and help them out and not just wait for them to come to you? Because that's the way the Bible says to do it. You want to do that with me? That sound good? All right, good. Let's go ahead and pray, and then you guys can get a sucker and go to Children's Church, okay? Dear Lord, we thank you for all your blessings and all the ways that you show us that you love us, and we just ask that you teach us how to look for those who are in need and go out and purposefully try to help them the way that you did when you were here doing your ministry and the way that you call us to do as your church. In your name we pray, amen. All right, y'all, get a sucker. Please stand for the apostolic reading. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Let us pray. O God, you know the perilous choices we are prone to make that fall short of your desire for human faithfulness and obedience. Without you, our fragile nature cannot survive. Support us with your word of truth, that we may grow in faith in the midst of our trials. Grant this, we pray, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. think until flu season passes, we'll refrain from passing the peace officially altogether, but please do greet each other in your own way and everything after service is done, but please be seated.
Our first reading today comes from the sixth chapter of Micah. Hear what the Lord says. Arise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the indictment of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth, for the Lord has an indictment against his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? How have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery, and I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember what Balak king of Moab devised and what Balaam the son of Beor answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the righteous acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? Here ends the first reading. Let us read responsibly Psalm 15. Lord, who may dwell in your tabernacle? Who may abide upon your holy hill?
Whoever leads a blameless life and does what is right, who speaks the truth from his heart.
There is no guile upon his tongue. He does no evil to his friend. He does not heap contempt upon his neighbor. He has sworn to do no wrong and does not take back his word.
He does not give his money in hope of gain, nor does he take bribe against the innocent.
Whoever does these things shall never be overthrown. Our second reading comes from the first chapter of 1 Corinthians. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and the discernment of the discerning. I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers, not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful, not many were of noble birth, but God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. Here ends the reading.
Hallelujah, what a good shall be God. You have the words of eternal life. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. I think it's pretty clear the message here in all of the different readings has something to do with love and service and giving of ourselves to our neighbors. And if we take it a little bit further, it's got ideas of loving our neighbor, loving God, the things that we're told by Jesus to do, and building those relationships with God and with one another. In the Old Testament reading, it goes through and God is asking a series of questions, and then afterwards he says that I've told you, through Micah, I've told you what is good. And then that famous Old Testament reading that we know. The Lord requires of us to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with God. So we have that going on. And what it's comparing itself to in that first reading there is actually all these things that God has given to the people so that they can do something to have a relationship with him, to come closer to him in the meantime until Jesus comes and the Holy Spirit can be with us and live in us, until the church is established, how Israel can put their sins on the credit card that will be paid off eventually by Jesus. But then they start to turn it into setting aside relationships with their neighbor and just doing the things that they were told and making them mindless and just checking off the boxes. And then it says, that's not what we're supposed to be doing. What we're supposed to be doing instead is these things. And then we move into 1 Corinthians, where Paul's getting into how the way that we live, the things that we talk about as Christians, the things that save us, that we realize we needed and save us, is actually something that looks odd and actually looks like foolishness to the world. The word of the cross, the fact that God had to come and die for us for our sake, and in his death, we are saved. That doesn't make sense according to what the world says. The world says we have to fight. We have to not die. We have to not give of ourselves. We have to put ourselves first. But then Paul says, has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Isn't God's wisdom so much greater than the world's wisdom? And then we get into Matthew, where Jesus is giving a series of ways that we should live our lives and things that sometimes the world would not put a focus on. But if we focus on those, then we're blessed. The Beatitudes, as we know it. Now, if we take all of those, put them together, and we take this idea of relationship with one another, I came across something just randomly in the last week, and it said, Jesus didn't die so that we could treat others the way that the world treated him. And yeah, sometimes we're guilty of not treating others any better than the world treated Jesus. But for us as Christians too, sometimes we do that. So aren't we just doing what Jesus calls us to do? We don't really treat anybody poorly. Sometimes we have a bad day and we might be short with somebody, but we apologize if we can. And we try to put out this good image and we try to to look like Christians should look. But like I said with the children, actually, if you take the idea from the Old Testament reading, the idea of doing justice, it's actually very different than what the church has come to think about. Sometimes we have ministries as a whole with our churches. We have a lot of ministries going on here that purposefully try to help other people. That's great. That's part of what we're called to do as the church. Be the place in the community that people can come with any need. But this idea from the Old Testament is actually coming out of someone's personal relationship with God being almost non-existent because they're just trying to follow the rules. And we can do that too. We can say, Jesus says to love God and to love our neighbor. So I'll read my Bible and go to church and show God that I love him. And then I will help my neighbor so that if anybody, I come across needs something, and I'll do that. I'll help them. Or I won't yell at them when they cut me off in traffic. Or a couple of those things. But those are just glorified checklists. That's just following the rules, in a sense. Instead, like we talked about with the children, if you're going to clean your room, which was the chore I was hoping for in the children's sermon, sure enough, that's the one I got. If you're going to clean your room, you don't sit down somewhere and just hope the wind blows a sock by you so that you can pick it up and put it in the hamper. You don't hope that something will fall off the shelf and get close enough to you that you can grab it and put it where it's supposed to be. You get up and you purposefully move about your room in some sort of system to get things where they need to be to clean your room. That's the type of doing justice that the whole Old Testament talks about. God gave this list of things that we were to do to live together with one another, the other people that God has put his image in. We're going to live with them in a way that doesn't put ourselves over them, that doesn't make it so that they don't have what they need, but that's not what human beings do. What human beings do personally, what human beings do since the fall on a massive level, is use their power to subjugate someone else. And then unfortunately, if someone who's been subjugated, who's been made low, who's been abused in some way, gets any sort of power, usually they do the same. That is the world that we live in with a bunch of fallen human beings. But that's not how God intended it to be. So when he starts to give his law, and when he starts to focus on other things, he says, instead, what we're going to do here in Israel and my people, and then further on, since we're all connected here in the church, is we're going to do justice. And that looks a whole lot more like purposefully cleaning your room than it does waiting for somebody to come and knock on your window in a parking lot. It's purposefully waking up today and thinking, there is injustice out there. Where can I find it and how can I help? And when we love mercy or love kindness, we do those things knowing that those people who are out there hurting, those people who are taken advantage of by systems, those people out there are people with the image of God in them. And if that's the case, then it's worth doing. It's worth seeking out injustice. Now, injustice can be a whole lot of different things. It can be a person-to-person thing where something's not right with them or their situation, and so you don't just do enough. You don't just report to who you're supposed to report to, or, pray for them, or just do enough. You seek out, to the end, a way to help them and to bring about justice. Sometimes it's injustice on a massive level. And we as Christians should try to see if we can, in any way, bring about change to a system of injustice. Now, that's pretty complicated, but I know some of y'all are smart. I am not smart in that way. I cannot think about how to take on a system of injustice. I can tell you what the Bible says about the general things that we can do and what we shouldn't and shouldn't do, but I can't put that plan into place. But I know some of y'all can. And that's what the church is called to. It doesn't make much sense to clean your room by sitting there and waiting for something to happen close enough to you, happen to come close enough to you for you to clean it. So why should we treat doing justice and loving our neighbor that way? And it's not just, well, I'll go out to, you know, the mall so that I can be in contact with a couple more people and hope that one of them asks me if I can help them. It's not even that. It's taking stock of our surroundings. It's looking for the people that we see all the time. And instead of just saying, oh, yeah, it's nice to meet you. I'm glad I know your name. Oh, yeah, I live down here. Okay, cool. It's sometimes talking to them at a deeper level and building the kind of relationships that all these things are talking about. And then if they do need help, like the Beatitudes are saying, it's putting ourselves out. It's making life harder for ourselves. It's making our comfort level less for the sake of our neighbor. All of those things is what do justice means. Purposefully go look. And if it costs you something, doesn't make it not worth doing. If it costs you something, you do that. Because that's the person that we follow, is Jesus Christ, who it cost him everything to do what he needed to do for us. And if these people that we're surrounded by are in need, and our job is to care for them, not just by passively doing it, but by seeking it out and then making it cost us something if it needs to, that's the kind of self-sacrificing others before ourselves, loving our neighbors as ourselves that Jesus consistently talks about, and, like I said, is found even here in the Old Testament idea of justice. Loving our neighbors, not just not retaliating with a certain hand gesture in the car. Loving our neighbor costs us something, and we're supposed to put them first, and we're supposed to do those things as followers of Jesus Christ. So let's do that together. Let's think about that. Loving our neighbor is costly sometimes. Loving our neighbor means being specific and intentional in moving out from where we are. So that's what we have to do. Let's think of ways that we can do that personally and together. And let's do that moving forward, because that is our job as the church. Amen. Now let us confess our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and ever-living God. But chiefly we are bound to praise you for the glorious resurrection of our Lord, for he is the true Passover Lamb, who gave himself to take away our sin, who by his death has destroyed death, and by his rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter, and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. He was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Now let us pray the way our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Please be seated, and we'd just like to invite all baptized Christians to partake in this communion with us, and if you need, we do have a gluten-free option, just let us know. and for our post-communion blessing. Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. And the Lord be with you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Before we dismiss, there's one announcement we didn't have make it into the bulletin, and it's for next Saturday, so we won't be here again for you to hear it. The Junior Auxiliary will have their annual pancake breakfast next Saturday, the 8th, from 7:30 to 10:30 at the Legion Building in Faith. So if you're interested in that, please check that out. Now, go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.